The following is a presentation from the pulpit of Lancaster Baptist Church. For more audio and video content from our ministry, please visit lancasterbaptist.org.
How many of you believe indeed God does provide? Always His Word is true. What a thrill to get to be here today. I love the spirit and the heart of this church, and I love it when we get together to give to the Lord. Remember, today it's not about us giving to each other or to pastor. It's about us giving to the Lord. And that's what makes this such a special day. How many of you indeed love giving to the Lord Jesus? That's a great treasure that we get the privilege of in life. You realize He doesn't need us to do it. He's God. But He privileges us to do it. And what a thrill, what an opportunity. Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I have to confess, every time I'm here, the music just so moves my heart. And your pastor's spirit and the vision of this church and watching these testimonies. And I know they could put testimonies up there all day and all night of all the people whose lives have just been touched in the last year. And boy, what a thrill to see people who the Lord has made such a difference in their hearts. And how many of you know there's a world of people out there who need the Lord Jesus Christ? And this church has such a magnificent vision to get that done. The Apostle Paul, under the moving of the Holy Spirit, is writing to God's people. This is addressed to Christians. And the subject that God is laying before us is the subject of the grace of giving. God never intended for you and I to give in our strength and in our ability. Grace is key to everything in the Bible. The Bible says we're saved by grace. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, lest any man should boast. But once we're saved, that grace continues. And we get the privilege of doing something empowered of God, authored by God. We get to do what I call grace giving. Now, your pastor's messages on this in past years have so touched my wife and my life that it changed them. Because I'm afraid altogether too often I gave wanting to do right, but I gave in my ability. And God wants us to give in His ability, the grace giving. Let's take a look at what the Scripture says here. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we to you, to wit, of the grace of God. Now, boy, underline that grace of God. There it is. Bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. How that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. The churches in Macedonia were under persecution, and they were not wealthy churches. But by the grace of God, beyond their power, they gave. And that grace giving is what God wants in each and every one of our lives. Now, keeping your place in the Scripture there, I want you to drop down, if you would, to verse 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. God says, I by grace am going to empower you to do the Christian life. Isn't it magnificent that God never commands us to do what God will not empower and enable us to do? And He says, by this grace of giving, I want you to abound in it. Abound in it. You know what the word abound means? It means to jump in. It means to go without reserve. It means to jump in wholehearted. Now, the best example I've ever heard of the word is when people are by a body of water, maybe a swimming pool or a lake, and adults walk up, and they come to the edge of the pool or the lake, and they stick their toe in, and they say, oh, man, that's cold. How many of y'all have ever done that? You kind of feel it out. And then you step in up to your ankles, and you splash a little bit, and oh, it's chilly willy. That's not how kids get in. You know how kids get in? Man, they jump in and immerse themselves. That's this word abound. God says, I don't want you to dabble in this. I don't want you just to do it a little bit. I want you, by the grace of God, to abound therein and do this. What an incredible command. Now, you know what I found in life? There's three kinds of givers. And I dare say most of you have been one of these three many times. The first kind of giver is what I call the polite giver, the polite giver. You give just to be polite, just to be gracious. I should do something. Let's do something. And you do it to be polite. My favorite example of polite giving in my life is when the Girl Scouts come around selling cookies. How many of you love Girl Scout cookies? Yeah. How many of you can tell Brother Gibbs loves Girl Scout cookies? Oh, man, those chocolate mint cookies. And they always have a record. And when they knock on my door and I'm not there, they tell my wife, we'll come back when he's here. They want to know, because, boy, they know what a soft touch I am for Girl Scout cookies. And you know what? They're my neighbors. And I want to be gracious and kind to these kids. And I always tell them, I don't remember how much last year, but I want more than last year. And boy, I'm going to tell you, I do it to be polite. If they never gave me the cookies, I want to encourage them. So I do it to be polite. Nothing wrong with that. Except that's not how God wants you to give. We don't give because we're polite. We give because we're Christian. The second kind of giver is the calculated giver. Well, I've sure done this. Calculated giving is when you sit down and you say, yeah, I want to give, but I'm going to make sure it doesn't mess everything up. And I'm going to be sure that everything else I want. And so you start calculating and balancing, and you're sitting there saying, I'm going to calculate it out. Boy, I've been guilty numerous times. And boy, you'd think after 47 years of being married to my bride, I'd catch on. We'll be at church, and I'll say, honey, here's the amount I think we should give. And she'll say, great, great. She said, I only have one question. I know what the question is. She said, is that the number you calculated, or is that the number God laid on your heart? And I always say, well, I don't want to lie in church. But I'm sitting there trying to think, how do I get God over to my calculations? And you don't have to tell her, babe, that's just the number I calculated. And she always says the same. She said, honey, I'm for whatever number you say. I love you. But she said, let's not calculate God. Let's do it by faith. And that's the third kind of giver. Boy, it's not the polite giver, the calculating giver. It's the giver by faith who says, God, everything I have belongs to you. Everything. And God, I want to give by faith what you lay on my heart to give. When's the last time you said to the Lord, God, lay on my heart what to do? If you only give because of me, that would be a tragedy. If you only give because of the card and the wonderful program, that God wants to give you the number. And God says, do it by faith. Remember, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Impossible. Now, a wonderful preacher laid out a great outline that I loved. And I want you to write three things down about faith giving. Number one, there's no question faith giving is commanded by God. It's commanded by God. Boy, that's what we read. See that ye abound in this grace also. Man, I trust tonight when you pillow your head, you're going to be able to see, I abounded in the grace of God. But it's not just commanded by God, it's empowered by God. God makes it possible for us to do it. And then it's rewarded by God. Boy, those have touched me. You know what God says? Give, and it shall be given unto you. God says, I'm going to enable you to give and to keep giving. How many of you believe you can trust God's word? You're not depending on the word of David Gibbs. If you forget everything I've said, you've forgotten nothing of consequence. But don't forget what God says. I've got this grace. I want you to abound in it. And I promise you I'll enable it. And I promise you I'll reward it. The devil's going to make a pitch bid. Because the devil knows what's in the book. And the devil wants you, me, to do anything but give by grace. Never forget this. The day you got saved, and how many of you here have asked the Lord Jesus to be your Savior? An amazing thing happens. Number one, your sins are forgiven. And if you're here and you're not sure heaven's your home, my friend, only two kinds of people on the planet. Those who step into eternity having accepted what Jesus did and their sins are forgiven, or those who step into eternity the day you die, and you now will pay for your sins for all eternity. How many of you are thankful the Lord Jesus paid for your sins and you accepted that payment? Amen. Your sins are forgiven and heaven becomes your home. But a third thing happens. His Spirit empowers you. And it is difficult, at least for me, to even comprehend that God would love us so much that His very Spirit would take residence in us to allow us to do everything He commands us to do. The Christian life in and of yourself is an utter impossibility, but with God's power, it is totally possible because it's empowered by God. Grace giving, if you're here and you don't know Christ, would be an impossibility. But as a Christian, grace giving is commanded and enabled. And God says, what I want you to do is give by grace. I ask you to write three verses down. Here's number one. The reason we give is love. Acts chapter 6, verse 21. We give because we love the Lord. The Bible says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. A good friend of mine, I was in his office one day, and his secretary came in and said, remember, tomorrow's your wedding anniversary. Be sure you get your wife a gift. And he said, oh, yeah, I guess I ought to get her something. And he said, you know, you gotta. And I said, what do you mean you gotta? I said, don't you want to get her something? And he said, well, you know how it is. If you don't get them a gift, they think you're a bum. And I said, I already think you're a bum. I said, don't you love that lady? Don't you enjoy giving to her? Don't you love her? You know what my friend said? Well, I don't like how you're saying it, David. You got a way with words, and I'm kind of, I don't like my answer. You know what? Whatever you love, you will give to. And we give because we love the Lord. Now, We're saying this here, and I love this church, and I revere and love your pastor more than I could ever say. What a godly man. But this would be the same if we were in some other country, at some other church. This is not the word of Lancaster. This is the word of God. And it doesn't matter where you are. It's the same. And God says, I want you to give because you love. I'll never forget my son Jonathan when he was probably about 4 years old. He figured out Christmas. He figured it out. And he came to me and he said, Dad, I figured out Christmas. I said, well, good. And he said, I want to get you a gift. I want to get you a gift. I said, great. He said, give me some money. Give me some money. Never forget, stuck that little hand out. And I said, here you go, JD, and I gave him some money. Well, he got his sister to take him shopping, and boy, she called and she said, Dad, we got a real problem. I said, what's the matter? She said, this little boy loves you, and there's two things he wants to get you, and he doesn't have enough money, and he's crying, and everybody in the store is looking like I beat him or something, Dad. Can I give him a little more money? I said, sure. Well, he bought two little presents for me. He came home, wrapped them all up. I'll never forget. He used three complete rolls of Scotch tape. I mean, these were entombed. You couldn't get them out to save you. Christmas Eve. Come on, I want you to open them. I want you to open them. I can't wait. I can't wait. I want to give them to you. I want to give them to you. I said, no, we got to wait for Christmas morning. I think it was about 4 a.m., maybe earlier. He's in our bedroom. Come on, get up, get up. It's Christmas morning. I want you to open my present. Now, here came his brothers and sisters all mad. They said, will you tell him to stop throwing water on us? We don't want to get up at this hour. He came in, came out. My wife said, come on, I'll make coffee. What happened in the next 30 minutes changed my life. There was a present every kid in the country wanted, and it was hard to get. And my wife found one, traveled a long way to get it. We walked out and I said, Jonathan, the one thing you wanted, your mother tracked down for you. I want you to open it. Jonathan started crying. He said, no. I said, why are you crying? He said, I want you to take my present. You see, that little boy, because of his love for me, wanted me to have that. And he sat on my lap, and while I cut it all open, my wife had to go get this pair of scissors she cuts turkeys up with to get through it. And he just kept crying and saying, I love you. Do you like it? Do you like it? Now, they were two really unusual presents. One was a little paperweight painted iridescent green with an orange turtle on it that had a fish in its mouth. And the other was a pen that never wrote or worked, and you couldn't open it, and it matched the stone. And nobody gave you anything for them. But a little boy who loved me gave them to me. Do you love him? Lord, I want you to have this. Remember, we're giving to the Lord. And where your treasure is, that is where your heart will be, by promise of God. Write a second verse down. 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 2. We give because we love the Lord, and we give because it encourages others. He said, your zeal hath provoked very many. Boy, I promise you, when God's people give, it encourages other people to give to the Lord. I was working my way through law school, and one of my jobs was I was a radio announcer at a Christian radio station, and it was in the building of a man who was an engineer. He owned the building and a company, their large company. And his name was Carl Smith. And at night, Carl Smith would come in when I'd be working all night, and he'd chat with me and just talk about the things of the Lord. And Carl Smith was a man, he and his wife, very dedicated Christians, were on their way to the mission field in Africa. And then she became tragically, incredibly ill, and they couldn't go. So they decided what they would do is abound in the grace of giving. And so they decided what they wanted to do, since they couldn't go, was really support in the grace of giving God's work so others could go. And he started a little business in the back of his garage, and it grew, and they kept giving. And then here it is in this building with all these engineers. And he was designing the antennas that went into deep space, and the antennas on military aircraft, if I remember right, that changed frequencies 1,500 times a second. He was an antenna genius at these things. And he would come in and talk with me at night. And he would say, David, be sure. Nothing will stall your Christian life like when you're not fervent in the grace of giving and witnessing. Because he said, these things change your heart. And he was an unusual man. He's the only man I know that military helicopters would land in back and gunships would circle, and he'd go out and get on a helicopter and they'd fly him off to some secret place. And one time I said, where are you going? Where are you going? He said, well, I'd tell you, but then we'd have to kill you. And I said, I don't want to know that bad. And just this gracious Christian gentleman who was giving 90% of his income to God, who was paying 300 families mission support and giving to his church because he abounded in the grace of giving. And I said, do you understand how your giving touches me? How that encouragement? But one day I said to him, I said, Brother Smith, it's easy for you to do this because you make so much. And he said, David, sit down. He said, I did it when it was a corner of my garage. And then when it was half of my garage, and then it was all of my... David, I didn't start grace giving once I had a lot. He said, don't you ever forget this. God wants you to start grace giving right where you are. And God says, I will bless it right where you are. Wow. And he said, son, I know right now you're struggling and choking on school bills and other things. But he said, don't you ever let any of that destroy your grace giving. The economy may alter how you live. It should never alter how you give. God wants you and me to be the grace givers. Number one, boy, we give out of love. Number two, we give because, boy, what a great testimony to encourage others. But I want you to write down, it's God's plan by which he enriches the giver. God says, you give, and it shall be given unto you. Boy, Luke chapter 6, verse 38. 2 Corinthians 9, read with me at verse 6. Let's look at these verses. Chapter 9, verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. You know what God says? You give and get ready. I'm going to keep giving to you so you can keep giving. And you know what my experience is? It's always in greater measure. God says, take me at my word. I'll be sure I keep it. It's not the word of David Gibbs or this revered pastor. It's the word of God. And God says, I will absolutely make sure that a grace abounds towards you if you will abound in grace giving. I've told people who come to me with financial difficulties, the most foolish thing you can ever do is stop giving to God or give to God marginally. Because God says, in the measure and the spirit with which you give to me, that's the spirit that's going to come back to you. And boy, I don't know what your financial state is. All I can promise you is by promise of God, give and it shall be given unto you. Pastor quoted the verse, Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Prove me now therewith. The Lord says as a challenge to you and to me, take me at my word. Take me at my word. Try me. And God says, I promise you, if you abound in the grace of giving, jump in by command of God. God says, you'll find me. I keep my word. This is a special Sunday because we get on this one time the opportunity to band together to grace give together. Don't miss the blessing. We do it unto the Lord. That's where it goes. We do it because, boy, is it a testimony to ourselves and everyone. My wife and I have many times committed what we did not have. And you know what? God has always made it possible, every single time. And that's the grace of giving. And then we do it because God's promised, you give to me, I'll give to you. That is a promise of God. Someone says, Brother Gibbs, what if I give and God doesn't give back? He never lies. Never. And that's the devil whispering in your ear because he wants you to doubt God. He wants you to question, can you put your faith in him? You can always trust putting your faith in the promises of God every single time. When we get to heaven, I believe there's only one thing that you're going to be upset with Pastor Chapel about, with me about, with anyone who had the chance to give the word of God to you. When we see the eternal reward promised by God, we're going to say, how come we didn't do more? How come, which is eternal. Remember, this life goes by very quickly. Now, how many of you are amazed at how quick life goes by? Whoosh, it's here and gone. But eternity, God says, I'll not just bless you here. I will bless you in heaven for your giving for all eternity. And he said, what you do down here by way of investments, he said, man, rust and corruption and moths and everything. Now, how many of you know there's a whole bunch of people whose 401ks are now 101ks? Everything kind of, and you say, well, my house went down, and man, I understand. Welcome to America's economy at the moment. But that never happens with God. God says, I give you my word. Give, and it shall be given unto you. The grace of giving, with this I close, is a decision. You'll never do the grace of giving by accident. It's a decision. And it doesn't start with a number. It starts with you saying to God, I want to do it by faith. I don't want to be a polite or a calculating giver with you, God. Everything I have, you gave to me. And God, I want to give what you want me to give. I love you, and I'm giving to you. Speak to my heart. Oh, I promise you, it's a decision to be a grace giver. That's why I appreciate what Pastor says. Don't make the decision until you've heard. If you can't be back tonight, do it. But let God speak to your heart. Not David Gibbs, not Pastor Chapel. Let God speak to your heart. And when you walk out those doors as a grace giver, you need to be able to say, I gave what God laid on my heart. Oh my, what a thrill. And get ready. Give, and it shall be given unto you. When we get to heaven, I want to meet some of those Macedonians, men of whom in their poverty they gave. And God recorded it for all eternity. And they were such an incredible example. Christians for the last 2,000 years have had their testimony. Today is our chance to give our testimony of how we love the Lord and how by grace, His empowered grace, we get to give to the Lord. If you're here without Christ, don't leave here without Him, my friend. Most important thing, the most important decision anybody makes is where you spend eternity when you leave this life. The one thing everybody knows, this life goes by quick and you're going to leave it. As one man said, nobody gets out alive. And the question is, where then do you spend forever? I promise you, God does not want you to pay for your sins. That's why He sent His Son to die for you. And the whole question is, will you accept what Jesus did when He paid for your sins? You saw these testimonies. Their lives were changed, not because of this church, but because this church pointed them to Christ. That's the great key. And that's what Elevate and Magnify is about. We're not here to magnify and elevate this church. They're here to magnify and elevate Jesus Christ. That's what I love about the heart of this church. If you're here and you don't know Christ, don't leave this morning without trusting Him. And if you are a Christian, the decision now is in your hands. Will you be a grace giver? Will you abound in this grace as God commands? The choice now lies with us. Father, thank you. These wonderful, gracious people. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of allowing me to be here this morning. And oh, how by your grace, we want to do what honors you today. God, if all we do is the best we can, we've missed it. We want to do by grace what you've commanded us to do. I pray for the Christians here that we would indeed give by grace, abounding in the grace. And Father, I pray if there's one here that doesn't know Christ, don't let them leave here without trusting in the most precious thing in all the universe, the fact that God loves them and sent His only Son to die for them. And would they simply accept, trust what He did at Calvary when the Son of God paid for their sins?
Thank you so much for joining us today. If this message has helped you, we hope you will share with a friend or family member. We always love to hear from those whom God has changed through His Word. Share your story with us at lancasterbaptist.org/contact.